Hello and welcome to the Total Football Soccer Show, Richmond's first, only and therefore best soccer talk show. I'm Daryl. My co-host Taylor will be joining me shortly, just as soon as our catchy intro music fades up and then fades back down. So the USA beat Honduras 3-2 on Saturday to officially book themselves a place at World Cup 2010.
USA managed to come back, beat them 3-2, and now they're going to South Africa, which was a very exciting thing for me, as I'm obviously an American fan.
Me too. England had already qualified, obviously. So I'm just happy that USA will definitely be joining them.
One thing that didn't make me happy, though, was the next morning I was listening to a local call-in show in Richmond. It's called Sports Phone with Big Al, and an English caller actually called in to discuss a plethora of different sporting events. And at the end of the call, Big Al asked if there was anything else he was excited about. He mentioned the upcoming World Cup and USA making it and was kind of scoffed at by Big Al. And when they went back and forth, it was basically the argument was that soccer was the fifth most popular sport in this country. And Big Al definitely disagreed. And the more I thought about it, the more I just realized that that seems to be a pretty popular feeling in the United States currently.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not just Big Al, is it? There's guys like Jim Rome and a lot of mainstream commentators.
Yeah, and like Jim Rome, it's almost like it's, I think you and I talked about it a little bit off the air, that it's the idea that it's almost fashionable for older sports reporters to kind of hate on soccer. Like Jim Rome has always said if his kids ever played soccer, he would disown them. But both of his kids play soccer. It's like it's a character.
And has he disowned them?
I don't believe he has. And yet he still continues to make fun of soccer. If anyone brings it up on his show, it's like, who cares about that? Let's talk about football.
Yeah, I think that's, I can't prove this, but I suspect it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
Where there's older sports commentators, soccer wasn't part of their landscape. It was like foreign and something to be feared. And so they're not going to be embracing it. I'm not sure how much that reflects American culture as a whole. I feel like I live in sort of a bubble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I do the radio show with you, I talk to people I play soccer with. And so to me, it seems like everybody's into it. But I'm sure if I left my little bubble, there'd be people who have no idea who Zlatan Ibrahimovic is.
There's this idea that like, well, people in the United States don't care about it, so who cares? It's not very important. Where you can see that soccer is making very considerable, you know, growth in this country. We've talked about with Major League Soccer, with the United States qualifying, and just with the overall acceptance of soccer. You know, you see it on ESPN now, you see it on Fox Soccer Channel, and you see little kids wearing jerseys. I mean, clearly it's growing in this country, but it's just kind of annoying. I don't think it really hurts the sport at all. I just think it annoys me more than anything else to hear that kind of talk about the sport.
I think it does do some damage because people listen to the likes of Jim Rome. They listen to Big Al and they hear soccer being knocked. And I'm sure if you're someone who's maybe on the fence or uninformed, that it's sort of...
It's kind of like that entrenched viewpoint. It's like the more legitimacy someone like Jim Rome gives it, the more you're going to be like, oh, well, Jim Rome says it.
It must be true. Yeah, exactly.
Well, not even to that extent, but it kind of just like, if you're not really sure and then there's a louder person kind of screaming at you that soccer's not very good, you're not going to be like, well, actually it is. You're just going to be like, okay, well, whatever. I don't care.
I'll say this for Jim Rome. He is very loud.
And he has a very, very impressive goatee.
So let's try and, if we look at it honestly, where does soccer stand in the rankings of popular American sports? Does it stand in the rankings of popular American
sports?
Yeah,
I think you got to kind of look at it from, in terms of popularity, what sport is it? I'd say maybe sixth. But I think that kind of doesn't...
What's ahead of it?
I'd say, in no particular order, football, basketball, baseball, NASCAR, and then probably hockey. Some may disagree, but we're a southern state, so that may be why people don't really care.
But then where does it stand in relation to, say, golf or tennis or these other sporting events?
I'm going to refrain from saying something like apples and oranges, but that's sort of how I feel about it, is that it's like you can't really say, well, this many people watch golf and this many people watch soccer. So clearly... You know, soccer's more dominant or golf's more dominant. I don't really have those numbers, but even if I did, I wouldn't really care. For me, it's more so just the idea that soccer's here and it's something to be watched. And I think that it's a positive thing. It's a good thing to have in the American cultural landscape, and it's a good thing to have in the American athletic landscape.
Yeah, I think apples and oranges is right, because maybe it doesn't work to compare soccer to tennis or golf or any sort of individual sport. And I'd include NASCAR in that. So with the team sports, you've got football, where you throw it, baseball, basketball, hockey, then soccer. So fifth maybe is where it's at.
Yeah.
So are we comfortable with that, or what? How do you feel about that?
Well, see, it depends again on what you're talking about. If you're talking about Major League Soccer. I mean, yeah, that's a pretty comfortable position. I'd say soccer's lucky to be in that position. I read an article from the New York Times today that was discussing how essentially MLS has grown. You know, they have soccer-specific stadiums now. They're getting better TV contracts. They're getting better talent, but not to the level they like, where it's kind of like the American fan has outgrown the MLS. Now, people want to see world-class soccer. They're going to want to watch Ronaldo. They're going to want to watch Messi. They're not going to want to watch, you know, Aleko Eskandarian of DC United. It's not the player that's going to draw you in.
Actually, I believe Eskandarian plays for LA Galaxy now, but that still raises a good point. That's a crucial difference between the other American sports we just listed and soccer, which is that I'm not sure if this is provable or not, but I'd suggest that maybe MLS isn't the most popular soccer league in America.
Yeah, it's probably true. You know, I mean, you have, I think, contingents in the Southwest that would probably follow the Mexican Premier League more. You have fans of La Liga in Spain, of the EPL, of Serie A, of the Bundesliga. You know, you have fans everywhere. And that, not to be that guy, but I'm going to have to go to it. And that's kind of the idea of soccer, is that it's the world's game. It's the beautiful game. It's the game that appeals to everyone. And you don't really have to have a local team to be into it, you know. Are you going to tell me anyone in the world supports the Oakland Raiders outside of Oakland? And even there, they don't really. Daryl doesn't know. He's kind of looking at me. They're the worst team in football by far. Even worse than the Redskins, which is saying something. Oh, Lions have a win. Oakland.
Oh, okay.
Oakland, I don't even know if they know how to score touchdowns anymore. But the fact is that, you know, there's ugly football there. And certainly there's ugly soccer around the world, but
I think the Raiders have never been the same since Bo Jackson left.
Is that Tecmo Super Bowl talking? You play that one video game?
I saw a guy with a jersey once. I don't know. Is he a real player?
He is indeed.
All right.
He is.
Go Darryl.
Darryl can officially name one football player.
He probably retired in like 91 or something.
Yeah, about that. I think his legs fell off.
So maybe soccer's an exception to that usual ranking, because you can't just say, like, is MLS as popular as NBA? Because it's not. But because it's this whole thing of soccer around the world, maybe you have to look at it a little differently.
Yeah, and I think kind of what you're getting at, Daryl, is the idea that, you know, the NBA is the best basketball league in the world, the NFL is the best football league, Major League Baseball is the best baseball league, but the MLS isn't the best soccer league. And I think that, you know, for commentators like Jim Rome or Big Al, they're not going to respect a sport unless the best players are in the United States, not in Italy or Spain and England.
And maybe it doesn't occur to them to look outside of North America and see what's going on.
And what I'm saying is that I really don't care, because to me that just means that they don't get it. They don't get the popularity of soccer and the importance of soccer.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Mm-hmm. If they don't get it, I don't think they're ever going to get it. Mm-hmm. So there's probably not much can be done about that.
And there were actually kind of moves in like the mid-90s. Like, I remember the Richmond Kickers, their games wouldn't end in, you know, regular time. They'd play a shootout to decide the winner and stuff like that. They were kind of trying to make it appeal more to the broader American audience.
I can remember when Major League Soccer started in, what, 96? Mm-hmm. And I was back home in England.
Yeah.
And we heard all these crazy rumors about these crazy Americans who were finishing every soccer game with a penalty shootout. And it wasn't even a normal penalty shootout. Mm-hmm. Didn't you have to dribble from the halfway line?
Yeah, it was like 35 yards out and you had like 7 seconds to score or something.
Yeah, that's just not going to work.
Right, it's not. And it takes away from the sport, but it also kind of doesn't give Americans credit. It's like, oh, the only way we can make it entertaining is if it's, you know, exciting all the time. There's music and, you know, TV spots. And it dumbs down the audience, I think.
I think what it gets to as well is, for example, the penalty shootout was an attempt to address the sort of misconception that there are too many draws in soccer. That's one of the big complaints, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the, air quotes, Americanization of soccer was a way to sort of address the things that people complained about.
Mm-hmm.
But you're never going to appease or satisfy those people enough unless you change the rules so dramatically that it ends up where they all wear helmets and one of the guys throws the ball. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one thing or the other. And if it's going to be soccer, then it should be normal. Which, to MLS's credit, that's exactly what they've done now. I mean, MLS is becoming a respectable league in global standards.
I would definitely agree with that. I think that we've kind of criticized them for some of the way the salary cap is structured and kind of the way the growth of the league has been. But when it comes down to it, they're a stable league, they're profitable, and they're growing.
And there's also the fact that for the first time in 2010, MLS will break for the World Cup. Usually they play straight through the World Cup and somehow expect people to pay more attention to MLS than to the biggest tournament in soccer.
Seems logical.
Yeah, but next year for the first time they're going to take off, I think, the first 2 weeks of the World Cup, and then they're going to schedule games around the knockout stages.
Mm-hmm.
I think the World Cup 2010 is a huge opportunity in terms of growing the sport of soccer in America.
Yeah, and I think it's like you look back to 2002, the United States played really, really well, and I think it drew in some supporters. Yeah. And then even in 2006, when they played really poorly, you still saw record ratings in a lot of the World Cup matches. So, you know, clearly it's not just contingent upon the American success, it's the sport as a whole.
And the interesting thing to me is that people pay attention. People who wouldn't normally care pay attention. I remember... Do you remember towards the end of the 2006 World Cup, the last game where USA played Ghana?
Yeah.
And it was still mathematically possible for USA to qualify.
Yeah.
I was at a party where someone who never watched soccer, had no interest, asked me about the mathematical permutations of that World Cup group.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it put soccer back a little that the USA didn't advance to the knockout rounds, because that's when the real attention starts. So I don't want to put too much pressure on the US national team, but... Yeah. I think in a way their performance in South Africa will have a huge influence over the future of soccer. Is that too much to say?
No. Well, what was the thing that you were telling me about, the interview you saw with Jozy Altidore?
Yes, I saw Jozy Altidore interviewed on ESPN today. So on the back of the US qualifying for the World Cup, the ESPN host asked Jozy Altidore, is it fair to say that the US has arrived as a world power? And Jozy Altidore, bless him, sort of took a second to compose himself, and his response was, in soccer?
Yeah, and see, exactly. It's a great story. Answer. And it really, it's what I want to hear.
I still worry about the media, though, because that question from ESPN indicates that maybe ESPN believe that the way to push soccer is to convince the American viewers that America is a world power. And that's only going to end in disappointment.
But, you know, I mean, it's ESPN. They're owned by Disney. They want America to do well. So they're going to ask those kind of questions. And I think it's just up to the players to keep a level head. And that may not be good enough for Jim Rome or Big Al or those kind of sports fans, but I don't really care, because what I want to see is a great World Cup and a great performance from the United States.
That'd be good enough for me.
But if that's not good enough for you, then stay tuned for later in the show when Daryl and I will give you our top five reasons why you should like soccer.
You're listening to the Total Football Soccer Show with Daryl.
And Taylor.
On Richmond Independent Radio 97.3, radio for the rest of us.
So now it's time for another segment of Seemingly Fake News. Each week, Daryl and I comb the headlines to find you some stories that seem fake, but are actually 100% real. Daryl, you want to start us off?
All right, my bit of seemingly fake news comes from Spain.
All right.
The Spanish Football Federation are celebrating their centenary, which I believe centenary is 100 years.
Could be.
Could be. But it's been pointed out that they celebrated their 75th anniversary in 1988.
Doing the math here. Yeah, that doesn't add up.
Yep, that was 21 years ago. And apparently there's also a photo in one of the Spanish newspapers of the Spanish Prime Minister holding a shirt with a crest, which clearly shows the organization's start date as 1913.
Now, is there some symbolic reason for this, or are people just having some trouble adding up numbers in Spain?
I'm not sure. I think maybe they're just... in a rush to celebrate the centenary.
There you go. Well, but they're starting early. It's just a four-year celebration.
Maybe it's a practice.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Right. I like that. Well, my bit of fake news comes all the way from the Azteca Stadium in Mexico. This weekend, the Mexican national team were playing El Salvador in a World Cup qualifier. And amongst all of the Mexican supporters and a few scattered El Salvadorian supporters, there were some other supporters, a swarm of bees. They decided to take refuge in the El Salvadorian goal mouth, and it was pretty distracting for the goalkeeper, to say the least.
Yeah, I've seen this on YouTube. I think they stopped the game for like 10 minutes
or
so.
Yeah, about that.
They tried to get rid of the bees by using the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, bees are fire. I don't know if you knew that. So obviously you want to use fire extinguishers and waters and buckets of water, which they also used, because that's the most logical way to get rid of them.
So did the stadium security not check their tickets? Or?
No, I think they just let them wander onto the pitch. That's kind of how it works. But regardless, they were eventually evicted, and I guess had to watch the game from up in the rafters. Either way, they got to see the game for free, so I don't really think the bees have anything to complain about.
So earlier in the show, Taylor and myself talked about the relative popularity or unpopularity of soccer in America. We're a soccer show.
That we are.
So, and it's top five time.
All right.
So we're going to list our top five reasons why you should like soccer. We're going to try and convince some people here.
All right.
Cool. So Taylor, you start us off with your number five.
My number five is fairly obvious. It's the introduction of high-definition cameras.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really telling to watch soccer on a TV where, you know, it's not HD. It's still kind of blurry. It's not as nice as it could be. But with HD, not only are you able to see the players really clearly and you know, the fans and everything like that. But most importantly, if you're not an avid soccer watcher, you can see the ball much clearer and you can see the play developing much more clearly. And I think that's a pretty big step in the right direction.
Wow, I have nothing to say to that because I've still never seen soccer in HD.
Well, then you haven't lived. And also I said HD, not HD. I'm not sure if you've heard that.
Let's move swiftly on to my number five, which is the insanity of soccer.
Oh, I like
there it. There is absolute wackiness. Everything that happens off the field. We had a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Cristiano Ronaldo being cursed by a wizard. You've got all this.
And now he's injured. And now he's injured for a month. Yeah, unbelievable. Wizards exist. You heard it here first.
So basically, if you're an American and you think foreigners are funny, then soccer's like the gateway to all the wackiness from all around the world.
I agree. My number four, kind of going off that, is that simply that it's easier to watch the top teams and the top leagues than it's ever been before. It used to be, as we've talked about, that basically you had ESPN showing Manchester United and Liverpool in the Champions League. Now you have Fox Soccer Channel and even FX later on in the year showing Champions League games. You have ESPN showing La Liga games and English Premier League games, even some Serie A games. So it's really, you can turn on the TV on Saturday or Sunday mornings and see the top level of competition.
Yeah, and you've got Goal TV.
Right.
Another 24-hour soccer channel. And you've also got ESPN 360, which is their online thing. But the soccer all over the place, isn't it? So yeah, it's more accessible than it's ever been, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
My number four is about patriotism.
Ooh, right. I'm intrigued.
So it's great that America is the best at American football. Mm-hmm. It's great that they're the best at baseball.
I see where you're going.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
But think about, say, when the Dream Team goes to the Olympics and wins gold at basketball. No, it matters because there are other nations that care about basketball to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, like Spain cares. I think Croatia cares. You know what I mean? These are decent basketball nations, but maybe not as much as America.
Right.
So soccer's the global sport. Even anti-soccer people have to accept that that's the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be patriotic and you want America to be number one at something, why not want America to be number one at something that the rest of the world cares about?
I like it.
Yeah.
There you go.
So my number four is that flag-waving patriotism. That's why you should support the U.S. national
Coming team. From a Brit, that's saying something. Okay, well, my number three is a little confusing, but bear with me. Essentially, it's the idea that if you like all those other sports, then you pretty much have to like soccer because in a lot of ways, it combines all the things you like about other sports. You know, like in the NBA, you can't have a team that's doing well if they're not playing together as a team, you know, passing well and doing really well in transition play. Same thing with soccer. You know, football, you love the hard hitting. Watch a soccer game. You'll see plenty of it, especially if Joey Barton...
Or Gattuso.
Or Reno Gattuso. If he's on the field, someone will be broken in half. you know, baseball, there's the idea that, like, while the overall team is what's important, one individual can change the face of the game. You have Leo Messi, Ronaldo, players like that. One strike of the ball changes everything. And then, you know, even, you know, track and field, obviously the fitness, the speed, all that kind of stuff, but it's all there, and it's all to be watched.
And even ice hockey, basically, when I see hockey, I quite like hockey. It looks to me like indoor soccer, like five-a-side soccer.
Right.
In a good way. All right, so my number three is the fact that pretty much anyone can play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
When you're watching it on TV, the guys are, in terms of build, they could be you or they could be me.
Yeah.
Like when you watch basketball, I know it's not exclusively for tall people, but it more or less is exclusively for tall people.
Yeah.
When you watch NFL... You've got to be a certain build to play certain positions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got to be almost like a world-class sprinter to be a receiver, right? Or you've got to be a world-class...
Fat person.
Yeah, that's the word.
to be a lineman.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? Like, not anyone can play.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas soccer, there's tall people or short people or slow people or fast people. It doesn't really matter. As long as you've got talent, you can play.
Yeah, this summer I actually went to the AC Milan versus Chelsea match, and I went down after the game to interview some players, and I was shocked because these guys that I always thought were going to be 7 foot tall and huge were shorter than me, and I'm only 5'11".
Yeah.
And by 11, I mean 6 foot tall. I'm 6 foot tall, and they're still so much shorter than me. It's ridiculous. Some of the guys are 5'7", and yet they're the world-class players. It's open to all.
Yeah, it's like, I remember, I'm not a big comic book fan, but I remember someone who is saying once that they preferred Batman to Superman, because you can't be Superman.
But you can be Batman.
You can be Batman with enough practice.
Yeah, I like it.
You're listening to the Total Football Soccer Show, where Tyler and myself are trying to convert the skeptics by listing our top five reasons to watch the beautiful game.
Okay, so my number two is essentially the idea that in soccer, you got two 45-minute halves, maybe some extra time, and then you're done. You're watching 2 hours at the most. You know, I watched one baseball playoff the other night. It was 4 hours long. You know, you can't go but like 3 minutes in an NFL game without commercials. You know, they score a touchdown, commercial. They kick off, commercial. The first series ends, commercial. And it's how can you follow the action when it's just you can't get into it? Once you start to get into it, commercial, and you're done. And then you're out for 5 minutes and you're back in. But you're not going to have that cohesive, consistent action all over the pitch, and you do in soccer. And so if you're interested in, you know, free-flowing attack and constant excitement, and the fact that you can have a shot at one end of the field and 10 seconds later have a goal at the other, you know, you can't take your eyes off the screen. You got to pay attention because you got to see what's happening.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I know people complain that sometimes it looks like nothing's happening to them. But I think maybe that's – I mean, there are some boring games in soccer. Mm-hmm. I've sat through some boring games. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the people who are bored by it, it's because they don't understand
the
flow of the game and what's happening, because soccer's not divided into downs or set plays. It's more like a constant build up, and like you said, you can't take your eyes off the screen,
right?
So yeah, it's a way to be like, for 45 minutes I am watching this and not doing anything else.
And that is why I love it.
Okay, so where are we, number two?
For you, yes.
Okay, my number two goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, which is that soccer is global. Because it's global, it is happening all year round.
Oh, yeah,
so
definitely.
What I'm thinking is, like, if you're an NFL fan, the season runs from, Tyler?
It starts in late August, early September, and runs till essentially, like, February.
And that's it, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, if you're a football fan or an NFL fan, you've got nothing to watch in between. There's maybe college football as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, people might argue, like, you have preseason and stuff like that. But, I mean, come on, it's preseason. You don't even care.
Yeah, but then so outside of the season, you're just left just desperate for, I imagine, to watch some of your sport. Whereas soccer, like, when it's not happening in England, it's happening in the US, or it's happening in Argentina, or it's happening in Brazil, or it's happening in Tunisia. It's happening all the time.
It never stops, you know? You can always keep watching, you can always keep learning, you can always keep appreciating.
Yeah, and I think the idea of learning, it's not in my top five, but I think it's an interesting idea, is that because, again, soccer is global, it gives you a window into all these other cultures.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I know things about France that I wouldn't have known if I hadn't watched some French football. Do you know
what I mean? Definitely wouldn't know anything about Ghana, but now I do. Same thing with the Ivory Coast.
It's a great excuse to learn things about other cultures. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge part of what makes soccer so popular as a global sport.
Most definitely. Well, that is going to lead right into my number one. And to explain my number one, I'm going to give you a brief for instance. Last weekend, I went and played paintball with some of my friends, because apparently I'm 12. and as we were, you know, packing up to leave, I realized that to play that, it basically costs about $60. You play that every weekend, it's going to add up. Soccer, you need a ball. That's it. You know, if you really just want to play, you don't need cleats, you don't need all that stuff. You need a ball. And that's why it's the world's game. And that's why, you know, it's always going to appeal to me, because it actually is the world's game. No offense to baseball. I'm a Yankees fan. I hope they win the World Series. But that's just it. Canada and the United States is not the world. So it's not the World Series. The World Cup is every possible team in the world. It is the World's Cup. And that's what I care about. And going off of that, my final point before I, you know, totally explode, is that what you touched on earlier is learning about other countries. But it's also the appreciation of other countries. For example, in the last World Cup, the Ivory Coast qualified and made it into the tournament, right?
Yeah.
And the civil war that was going on in that country stopped because of the World Cup. People stopped fighting to watch their national team play. And to me, that's an amazing feat that you wouldn't see in a lot of other sports, but you do see in soccer.
So my number one is pretty simple. The reason that you should get on board with soccer is it's the future.
Definitely.
It's coming for you whether you like it or not.
Absolutely.
So you might as well get on board now, because otherwise when it comes, you're going to get left behind. And part of me really thinks that's what Jim Rome and all those guys, that's sort of what they fear, is it's going to overtake them and their professional sports presenters. And there's going to be this whole thing that they know nothing about.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, I kind of criticized ESPN, but I think if you went back 5 years and watched them cover soccer, it would just be totally like, what? Look at this novelty sport that people apparently play. And now, you know, they cover the United States playing Honduras, even though it's not even on television. They still show the highlights, and they still discuss it on SportsCenter. So I think some people are getting it, and I think you're definitely right that there are people out there like Jim Rome who are going to fight it, you know, as long as they possibly can. But for my favorite sports writer is Bill Simmons. He's arguably the most read sports writer in the United States, and he has recently acknowledged that he is a soccer fan now. He's in, he's going to watch it, he's going to support it. And I think partly it's because the game intrigues him and he's kind of tired of American sports. But I think it's also because he recognizes that if he wants to stay current, if he wants to stay relevant, he's got to support the game because it's here whether you like it or not.
Yeah, and I don't want to be one of those people who's like saying, oh, soccer, sport of the future.
Yeah.
We're going to live on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. You know what I mean? Because people have said that before and it hasn't happened.
Yeah, the NASL existed in the 70s.
Exactly.
It ain't here anymore.
But the difference this time is globalization.
Right.
It doesn't matter if MLS becomes as big as NFL, because that's not going to happen. But these other soccer leagues, the Premier League, La Liga, the World Cup, all these other competitions, if people are watching these, then soccer becomes a big sport. And people whose job it is to talk about sports for a living are against it, those people are inevitably going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's our top five. Do you think we've convinced people?
I hope so.
If we haven't convinced you, then email us at soccer@wrir.org and tell us why.
And if you didn't even need convincing, then feel free to send us your top five reasons why you like soccer.
Again, to soccer@wrir.org.
Nicely done. So now we come to the spelling bee, the portion of the show where Daryl and I challenge each other to spell footballers' names. Daryl is currently leading 5-3, much to my chagrin. Yeah. But hopefully I'll pull one back this week. We'll see. So this week we're spelling the names of players whose teams have qualified for the World Cup.
Okay.
All right, Daryl. So you ready?
Yes.
I would like for you to spell Chicago Fire and Mexican forward Cuauhtémoc Blanco.
All right. The surname is B-L-A-N-C-O.
That is correct.
I have no idea with the first name. And you know I have no idea because you asked me about this last week.
You said that you thought you could do it, and okay. I figured you might research it. But
I didn't.
Okay.
But I'll take a guess.
Okay.
It begins with a C.
Mm-hmm.
It's Cuauhtémoc, right?
Yes.
C H A U T E M O C.
Close.
Oh,
you had a couple of them switched in there. It was good. It was better than I thought you'd do. It's C U A U H T E M O C. There's like eight U's in there, and then there's one H that just kind of throws you off.
You know, I'm not ashamed.
I know. That was quite the respectful attempt there. Well done, my friend.
Okay, so I guess it's time for yours.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Revenge.
The guy I want you to spell plays for Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
He also plays for Arsenal, so he should be relatively well known.
Bentner.
His name is Nicholas Bentner.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
In your own time.
N-I-C-O-L-A-S.
Please continue.
B-E-N-D-T-N-E-R.
The surname's correct, but you spelt his first name wrong. It's spelled N-I-C-K-L-A-S. Taylor's head is on the desk.
Nope, I think so stupid.
I think we actually both did quite well without scoring any points.
Yeah, yeah. A moral defeat, shall we say. But tune in next week to see if I can make up some ground on Daryl, who still leads 5-3, and I will continue to cry.
And that brings us to the end of the 11th episode of the Total Football Soccer Show. We usually close with an amusing quote, but this week, on behalf of Taylor and myself, I'd just like to offer our best wishes to US national team forward Charlie Davies, who's recovering in hospital following a car accident in Northern Virginia. Davies is said to be in a serious but stable condition, and we'd like to wish him a speedy recovery.